man, is it off the rails Friday today on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Nick Kyprios, Justin Bourne, Daniele Franceschi, Derek Brandeo, and Jake the Snake Schultz with you for the next 2 hours. You're brutal, by the way.
Brutal?
Yeah.
Why?
What'd I Why?
Do?
Yeah. Because we are 5 seconds from going on air, and you ask Disco, can we get the Masters on the television now?
Blank TV screen on Masters Friday.
Where were we for the last 5 minutes to turn this thing on? Why did you remember in the last 15 seconds?
Listen, I like Blair and Barker as guys. Great guys. Some of my favorite guys. But the rush between their show and ours is, I miss the days of the open studio.
Derek, Jake, homework. Get it up. Get the Masters going. You know which monitor
okay,
it is.
You be quiet for 1 second.
Okay,
here.
You okay. Got it.
Because, yeah, you have a better lineup than Sammy will ever have in his lifetime. I'll give you that one.
Here comes a butt.
But Sammy McKee would have had the Masters on.
Oh, he would have, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
That's your job, my friend, when you're filling in.
Okay.
Okay. Sammy, no more golf.
That drop's been really valuable.
Well, we're not on the air again until Monday, so we're hooped.
Could have a rain delay. Never know.
Mm. Is there any way we could just go to bars for 30 seconds and turn it on? Can everybody just wait in television land and radio land? Can we go to bars?
I don't think our bosses would like that.
No, okay, all right.
Plow ahead.
Okay, so how are you? It's been a good couple of days for me and you.
To be honest, to not be on yesterday, after Florida and then Tampa Bay, we have a lot to say.
We do. In the meantime, we did an event together at Mercedes-Benz Toronto Queensway.
Yeah.
Where I brought you out to hang out.
And they gave me a Mercedes.
not yet.
No.
But we're working on it.
Yeah.
But that was a lot of fun.
It was awesome.
Right?
Really grateful that everyone came out.
We've never really done anything like that before, but they put on an event for us. They invited some of their clients, and we just kind of hung out. We watched a hockey game together.
The Matthew and I show.
And then you and I just did a Q&A in between periods. And it was a lot of fun.
It was fun. It was really cool and, fun to watch the game on a big screen. Also, to feel like the playoff energy, to be around like 60 people watching a great game like that at the same time.
Yes.
That's fun.
And the other thing I want to just say is we also do birthday parties.
Yep.
We do bar mitzvahs.
I juggle. If anyone needs.
Anyone you want to hire us, we're available. And we'll bring Disco when Sammy's not around.
Yeah.
And then yesterday, me and you went shopping a little bit. We spent more quality time together without Sammy. I almost feel like we're cheating on him.
I didn't realize that he was the wedge in our relationship this whole time. We just needed to get him out of the
way. And we're the three best friends that anyone could have.
We got invited by Jeremy, who's with Easy Mondays.
Easy Mondays.
And,
you can see how lovely our unstructured blazers are. Look at this nice stuff. Look at that color of that shirt.
We usually dress kind of the same without even knowing it.
Yeah.
But today we did.
Today was on purpose.
Today was on purpose.
We look sharp. So. Thanks again, Jeremy. Thanks, Easy Mondays.
Really, really very nice of him. Okay. So we didn't work yesterday. We didn't really have a chance to follow up yet on the trip to the state of Florida, the Sunshine State, where we saw two completely different Toronto Maple Leaf hockey clubs.
Yeah. I mean, that's the best way to put it possible is, the Leafs have done this for years where it's like the moment you feel like you're going to give up on them right after that Florida game, a lot of fans were, they can't beat that team. They're not built for playoffs. And then they went and played at a team in Tampa Bay who has been the best team in the NHL since February 4th, according to my math. And they hung with them. They look great on the road and kind of made you believe again, Kip.
I don't know if you, for whatever reason, they just laid such a big egg against Florida, but you just don't put up consecutive 100-point seasons without something being there. For them to have laid down like they did against Florida, I still can't put my finger on why, but if it is going to happen this close to the playoffs, you're certainly glad it happened in the last week instead of the first week of the playoffs.
Got out of their system. Did it leave you feeling like if you had to pick one of these two teams to play, even though Tampa Bay is going to finish ahead of them, even though Tampa Bay is higher in the standings and hotter and all that, you would rather play Tampa Bay than Florida?
But the record speaks for itself, right?
Are they
undefeated?
Season sweep this year, last 3 years, 8-2-1. Against Tampa. But for whatever reason, they see Tampa.
Yes.
They're comfortable. Florida, not so much.
No.
Okay, let's pick up a Kipper's Clipper with Craig Berube talking about the overviews of what he saw Wednesday night in Tampa.
Yeah, the first period was good. You know, I thought we had real good pace to our game and we're going good, got an early lead. You know, I think our team battled in the interior of the ice tonight with shot blocks, hard around our net. You know, the second period, I thought they were the better team. They come at us pretty good, but goalie was good. And like I said, we battled in, around the interior of the ice.
You know, for all the criticism of Craig Berube not, you know, being harder on the guys or leaning into accountability.
At least publicly,
that we're aware of. It does seem to pay dividends when they don't panic when things go bad, right? They lost a few in a row. Yeah. No one really panicked. They, you know, they get beat up by Florida. They're fine. They come back and give a good effort. So that's encouraging that maybe there is something there. Matthew Nyes, you want to talk about him?
No, not yet.
Okay.
Not yet. I still want to kind of dissect a little bit of what we saw compared to Florida and Tampa Bay, because there still is a lot that could scare me about Tampa Bay, especially with the firepower. And I'm not sure how Kucherov felt about his game Wednesday night.
He's terrifying.
But he's off the charts good. I don't think he had particularly had a great night. I don't know in terms of the shot attempts for me. Like, it seemed like it was overwhelmingly in favor of Tampa Bay.
That is correct. 90-63.
Okay. There you go.
Thank you.
Is it just an off night for them? Like, are we that convinced that the Leafs just own them?
Well, here is the thing I will say. So shot attempts, you said 90-63. The expected goals were in the Leafs' favor. So they were 4.65 to 3.47. So they created a higher danger shot. And so what's crazy, too, is puck possession time in the ozone. Puck in the ozone time. Tampa had it in the Leafs' end for 29 minutes. The Leafs had it in their end for 20 minutes. So like we said, they don't have the puck. They don't carry the play, but they carried the dangerous chances.
Three goal posts or three posts early in the game.
Crossbar post, right? Something like that, yep.
First, like, 12 minutes, I think it was. Really, right from the jump.
Mm-hmm. High danger scoring chances total, 20 to 18. Like, it's all really tight. Puck battle wins were in the Leafs' favor.
The one thing that stood out for me between both the Panthers and Tampa Bay is just, overall, Tampa's way looser.
Like, loose.
Just not.
Well said.
It's just not tight. Offensively, on the forecheck, defensively, they do not play in your face like Florida.
There's room.
There's room.
Yeah. Yeah, that is the defining characteristic of that Florida game. It was like, there's nowhere to go. Just felt like there's like, it's like they have seven guys out there. In Tampa Bay, it was trade chance, and the Leafs are.
Which, again, would favor playing Tampa over Florida. Like, come on.
You said going into that overtime, you were like, this actually favors the Leafs.
Yes. I did tell you that.
You know, like, once you get a little room out there for Matthews and Willie and Mitch.
And the game breakers, right? Yeah. And the Leafs have world-class game breakers.
Yeah.
On, like, Willie could have very ordinary night to a subpar night, but give that guy just one sliver. One window of opportunity, and he could bury you.
3-on-3 is smelling salts for Willie. He'll be on the bench like in a daze. Nothing's happening. He's wearing 3-on-3. So he's like, ding, and he's like, oh, hello. You know, like, jumps out there and ready to go.
Okay. Nyes. You want to go Nyes?
Yeah. Can you believe he didn't get his stick tangled on his jock strap from the size of the cojones you need to pass through your legs in overtime in a 3-3 game with, like, the division on the line?
Yeah.
Can I add one thing on Nyes here first? Doesn't it, when you watch him skate, doesn't he skate like he's mad at the ice?
That's how Nathan MacKinnon skates.
It's very similar, right? Yes. Like, it's just, I'm going to eat, chew it up, right? I thought, clearly Wednesday, terrific, off the charts good, but just something that stood out.
Yeah, well, he's to be 230 and skate like he does is pretty incredible.
Yeah, to me, outside of the pass in between his legs and the offense, what will stand out to me over the last two games in Florida is his acknowledgement of how bad they were in Florida, how honest he was. and he used the word soft.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's been around long enough to know that that four-letter word is...
That's a big one.
...is one of the biggest insults to any hockey player or any hockey club. So the response to me off of him mm-hmm. puts him now in very much a leadership type of position on this hockey club.
And that's crazy considering he's 22 years old. He doesn't turn 23 till October or something. So he's young. And you love, I know, the stuff with big guys. You know, the guy he's going at it with there, Chernak.
Yeah.
Chernak's 6'4", 230.
Yeah.
And Nyes is in there going like, oh, yeah, buddy, you're cool.
that was my favorite part.
Less and less hesitation.
Yeah.
He's not questioning himself now. He's got the confidence and the belief that I am bigger and stronger than most guys out here, and I'm going to use it to my advantage.
As, you know, attested by the goal. Is it the mm-hmm. second one he scores where he's parked in the blue paint and he's wearing 90 on his back and holds him off, puts home a rebound. He is wielding that size with authority.
You want to start with a Craig Berube clip on the pass between the legs?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, let's go to clip two.
I'm not sure I recommend that play. you know, but guys try things, you know. Would he try the Michigan the other night? Yeah. I mean, he's got confidence right now. He's playing with a lot of confidence, which is good. And like I said, the reason for his success is his competitiveness, in my opinion. It's really, really high end, in my opinion. Like, he wins battles. He skates through people all night, gets in there on the forecheck, wins battles down low, hangs on the pucks. I mean, he's a highly competitive player.
I do want to tell people, like, the through the legs thing is not a showy thing. He thinks that that's the easiest way to get the pass out of the stick lane of the defenseman. There's a purpose, not just fancy.
Yeah, I'm beyond the what's hot dogging and what's not. Mm-hmm.
He got a pass across in a big spot.
I'll be the first one to say if it didn't work, or if you know it's behind a guy, or you know
you're on the hook for it.
Yeah, you're on the hook for it. That's all. So it's like, pull it off. No problem. Don't pull it off. I got a problem with you.
Absolutely.
The way you play, the way he played in that game, he probably earned the license to do that.
Yeah.
I think in that spot, if you think it's the play that is necessary to make. Mm. But Kipper, to go back to what you said about the response, the fact that it was him. He was the guy on Tuesday night after they lose to Florida to publicly at least admonish the performance, call out the team a little bit and use the word we referenced, the soft word. Then the next night, it's not even that he just scored the goals, but I pulled up even today the shot, it's almost like a shot chart in basketball, but in hockey, to see where he was getting the most of his opportunities. And it's unbelievable the amount of color you see around that painted area in comparison to anywhere else in the offensive zone. Yeah. And he's doing it from those greasy spots that they have desperately needed somebody to provide offense in those areas for years. So now that you're getting it from him, it's important. Now, I don't know if it says anything that it's a 22-year-old providing that presence and fulfilling that role compared to one of your quote-unquote core guys, but nevertheless, it is something that they've lacked, and they are getting it finally, and I thought that was really important to see in the response from him.
Yeah, you know, the one thing I feel like when he plays that way is if he can just take the attention away from Marner and Matthews, have guys on the ice worried about him, jawing at him, thinking about him, and let those guys have three inches more, it'd be great.
It has been an element that's been missing for 10 years now.
Yeah, like Bunting is not like, strong enough to do that in a playoff game.
If you look at the core four and the money that's been up there for many, many years now, that's the one element that they've all been missing is that brute force. And to your point, Bunting, Malgin,
Hyman was the best at it by
Hyman
far.
Hyman was the best.
Was Patrick Marleau a little bit.
We didn't even see like peak Hyman, right? And I don't know. Is this scratching the surface for Nyes? Is this pretty much, you know, at 22, 23, is he hitting his ceiling now where he's going to be this for the next 10 years?
Yeah.
We don't know. Maybe there's even more to squeeze out of him, but we are seeing it really for the first time you know, outside of your point of Hyman, you know, leaving.
Yeah.
And it's, it opens up a ton of room.
We did a board the other day for some Hockey Central show where it was goals, points, hits, and three names, and it was Brady Tkachuk, Tom Wilson, and Matthew Knies.
Mm-hmm.
Same goal total, almost exact same point total. Hits, Knies is behind those guys by like 30 or 40 on the season.
And he's the youngest guy on that list.
By 10 years.
I think
Wilson.
If Brady actually looked Brady's at it today too, Brady's 25, he's 22.
Yeah.
Which is nuts.
So, you know, he can belong to a pretty elite class of power forward if he keeps getting better, which he should. Do you want to hear from Matthew at all, Mr. Knies?
Do you want to hear on the pass or the success he's had against Tampa Bay?
I'm over the pass.
Okay,
and let's go. We've discussed that.
Oh, he loves Tampa.
Yeah, he does.
Let's listen to how much he loves Tampa.
Well, Matthew, a thrilling win for your team and a hat trick for yourself, including the overtime winner. In 9 games against the Tampa Bay Lightning, you have 10 goals. I'm wondering if there's something about playing the Lightning that seems to bring out the best in you.
Yeah, obviously I didn't have a good experience at this bar when I was a young kid. So, we played a great game today. A lot of credit to Mitchie and Austin today. They played a hell of a game. And, it was a good effort all around. So it was a good win, an important win.
When he was a young kid.
You know what's funny? You know what he's referencing there?
Huh.
He's referencing the Frozen Four from 2 years ago.
Oh, geez.
That's what he defines as a young kid.
Yeah.
When he lost in the Frozen Four. And I think it was overtime. It was some dramatic ending. They lost. Minnesota was favored.
They lose to Quinnipiac?
Well, maybe it was Quinnipiac. That's right. Yeah. And that's what he's referencing. I couldn't wrap my head initially.
When you're his age, that's 10% of his life ago. That is
oh, my God. That is nuts.
That is a while
back. That's nuts.
All right. Well, it's good to see him taking strides. Good game by Mitch Marner, 3-point night.
Yeah.
Had a great slap shot goal by Vasilevsky.
Ever closer to 100 points for the season, and a milestone that he certainly has fallen short, either because of injury or being rested for a few games. Mm-hmm. But he looks like he's on his way to 100 points. I don't know as. Has a Leaf winger ever hit 100 points?
It's a great question.
I have no
that
idea.
That I don't know.
I don't. Off the top of my head, I say no. I think we've got Sittler. We've got Dougie Gilmore.
Anderchuk?
I don't know about it. Dave Anderchuk and McGillney. Those are the wingers
that's
that
the
come
one I'm
to
checking
mind.
Right now is McGillney to see.
Anderchuk had 50 point or 50 goals. We know that, but I don't know if he had.
Yeah, so McGillney's a no. Kipper, he got.
Yeah.
In Toronto, closest was 79. He had 100 points with Vancouver 1 year.
Yeah.
Okay,
if it's not Anderchuk, I cannot see.
All right, we're going to try
not
Dave
Lanny,
Anderchuk.
Not...
let's see here.
My Leafs history is not where yours would be.
All right, that's okay.
Oh, he missed it by 1 point, guys.
Who?
Dave Anderchuk.
99
points in 93-94.
It'd be the fourth player in history I just had in my ear. Is
Matt's?
Right? I don't know.
Who's the third? Gilmore, Sittler,
Gilmore. I don't know. Anyway, we should do this off the air.
I think they're the only two. Did Matz ever hit 100?
Let's take a peek. I doubt it.
We're not doing trivia now.
Now we're doing Google trivia. Man. I doubt it. I doubt it, though. That's my guess. Let's see.
Sammy would know. Disco.
Sammy would know.
No, never had 100. No.
Oh, Matthews. Oh, Matthews. Well, how can we forget Matthews?
Oh, yeah. Austin Matthews.
Oh,
come on.
Yeah. Hurt his hands. Yes.
All right.
Okay.
Where do you want to go now? Want to dissect still more? You want to look towards Montreal? The thought of now 5 defensemen playing because Oliver Ekman-Larsson, it was reported that he's not in the lineup tomorrow night.
Really a tremendous breakaway in overtime from Ekman-Larsson in which he didn't score, fell, and injured himself.
Oh, you know what? Yeah, that's true.
It was the hat trick. Remember he smashed into the boards in OT? That was a real moment where there was a stretch pass the length of the ice in OT, and a guy sprung, and it's like, here goes Nylander, and it's like, wait.
It's OEL.
95.
Anyway. Isn't it a little bit concerning, though? Like, these guys have, what is it now? 3 games left tomorrow, 3 games left in total, and now you have to go 5D? At this point,
if I'm not mistaken, Edmonton had this similar situation. Yeah. For those of you that don't know, it's salary cap related.
Mm-hmm.
They cannot call anybody up. You cannot claim long term.
Yeah.
Right.
So they have 195 grand in cap space. So you can't fit a player. Can't put anyone on LTIR because there's not enough games left. And you can't be emergency recall until someone misses a game with injury. So you got to miss a game.
While they're negotiating for a new CBA, please fix this.
How dumb is this? Like, the team doesn't want this. The league doesn't want this. Nobody wants this.
The guys are coming in at the end of the regular season, like, on fumes.
Yeah, and everyone jams it to the salary cap after the deadline anyway. Who's
all we're doing now, we're doing two things. We're risking more injuries because it's a lot more taxing on five guys. And we're ripping off the fans who don't get a full roster.
Yeah. Yeah, you're going to get Benoit and Myers playing 22 minutes each to try to fill the void. You know, it's going to be tight.
So
Benoit was pretty good last game, by the way. I'm liking him lately. So that's going to be interesting to see how they handle that. Stolarz, Wohl, any thoughts? Anything changed for you in
nothing
Florida?
Nothing really. No. So once again, I think, if I'm not mistaken, we're looking at the last back-to-back of the regular season.
That's right.
And if I could just vent one more time.
Please do.
Okay. Saturday night, Leafs at home. Sunday in Carolina, 5 p.m. Like, what are we doing here? Who is doing the scheduling here? Yeah.
So they'll leave after the Habs game, get into Carolina. They'll get to their hotel at 2 or 3 in the
customs,
morning, probably. Yeah.
Right? Got to go through customs.
Probably later.
The Masters.
Oh, yeah, you got to watch the Masters.
Can you explain to me who would schedule an NHL game up against going down the stretch of hole 15 to 18?
Now, this almost sounds personal, like
Sunday
it affects
Masters.
You personally in some way that there's a game.
Yeah, not like you two guys are doing the game.
Gary Batman.
Yes, yes. And I will guarantee you that we will have a screen on, unlike right now.
I'm going to do an intermission pack of like Rory on the back nine.
Have we ever had a situation where we've seen this many back-to-backs in a season?
I don't know.
Because doesn't it feel like an inordinate amount?
The Leafs led the league.
Yeah, they were almost double digits, like nine of them or something.
No,
I think it's more
16.
Than
16.
Yeah.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah. Their record, because Borny, their record in back-to-backs is pretty good.
They're 9-4-2.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Which
math that out, Borny.
Incredible.
Idiot.
You know who's, I don't know what the number is, maybe 11 or 12. There's a team that is 0-for.
Oh, really?
In back-to-backs.
Oh.
I think it's Seattle.
Yeah.
Oh,
they're
interesting.
Like, they're like 0-11-1 or something crazy like that on the second half of a back-to-back.
Do you want to hear the most stunning back-to-back stat of the year for me? The guy who leads the NHL in points on the second half of a back-to-back is John Tavares. Old fleet of foot Johnny takes care of himself. He shoots it in the net on a back-to-back. I think he's got 17 points.
17.
Yeah, might be 18. Quite the accomplishment. I don't know. It's a random tidbit.
Listen, he's had a hell of a season, right? This is I think he's the Leafs nomination for the Masterson Award.
Bill Masterton. Yeah.
Masterton, sorry.
Yep.
My apologies to
the
Masterton family.
My dad won that in 1988, I think.
So, nice. Stripped of the captaincy, right? All of it.
Mm-hmm.
Last season, off of his contract, wants to remain. It's on hold. They're not really committing to him just yet. And yet he's found his way to have one of the best seasons so far, regular season.
I think you can make the case that the lack of pressure has helped. It turned him into a good guy. You know, instead of being the guy who took all this money and makes their cap whatever, it's like, oh, they stripped him of the captaincy and he chose to come here, and it like flipped the like narrative pressure on the guy.
He became a face, not a heel. He had a little heel turn action, face turn.
See it coming.
That's funny.
We have Anthony Stolarz talking about his take on going to Florida and having a tough night and then coming back here and bouncing back. Why don't we hear what Anthony Stolarz had to say?
I think it's huge for us. I think, especially after last night, really weren't our best, but you know, I think tonight you can see the intensity, you can see the dedication in the defensive zone as well as in the offensive zone. The guys were blocking a ton of pucks. I think we had 25, 35 blocks in between there. So, kudos to those guys in front of me. They made my job a lot easier. And I think Mo had 8 or 9, Tanny, Bo, OEL. So it's just a collective effort, and that's something that we're going to have to continue to build on going forward here.
It is a heck of a game plan. So if your plan is to, be in your own zone but not give up high danger chances, that means you're committing to blocking a lot of shots. How that plays out over 2 months of playoffs is remains to be seen. You know, are we going to be sitting here and they'll have no injuries from shot blocks by the second round, third round?
Are you going to block 30 shots every night?
Right.
Well, again, you're down to 5D, and that's just more taxing, more block shots.
I'm telling you, get the heck out of the way tonight or tomorrow. Let the goalie see it.
You know, we'll probably see it tomorrow night. Mitch Marner play defense.
Actually, that crossed my mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
You watch. They'll throw him back there a little
bit. Well, I think it's an option, right? He's can skate backwards and play a two-on-one, and you need someone.
And I'm sure they'll be juggling the cap, maybe be in a position where Sunday they could find a way to get somebody back
in. They can. So once a player misses a game, they can use an emergency recall that isn't on the cap, but the player has to make less than $875. So Marshall Rafai would check that box for you. Dakota Mermis as well.
This is why I have you around.
Well, you know, happy to fill in the blanks.
Yeah. we'll see who tomorrow night in that, in your opinion. Oh.
Let's look at this remaining schedule. So probably Stolarz, right?
That's what I would guess.
Back to back, you get the Canadians. Yeah, I think he
Stolarz Saturday night, Joseph Woll in Carolina on the short.
I think you have the I think that's the way to go. I wonder if Tampa Bay's game tonight affects anything. Like if they lose tonight and the division looks a little bit safer. It's probably Stolarz then Woll.
The key one is Florida versus Tampa, if I'm not mistaken, Tuesday, correct? Is that what it says?
Oh, they play, huh?
Yeah, they play.
They do play. The 15th of April.
If Florida finds a way to steal points off of Tampa
that'd be nice.
That night,
yeah.
Then the Leafs really need to go, 2-for-4, right?
If the Leafs go 2-for-4, that means in the final four games, Tampa Bay would need 7 points to tie them,
Leafs
have the tiebreaker. So they would basically need all 8 remaining points if the Leafs can win 2.
Yeah. So it's looking pretty good. Just win tomorrow night. But Montreal comes in off their back-to-back as they play Ottawa tonight.
And it'll be interesting to see what version they get of this Montreal team because they're playing the Sens tonight. They win, they clinch a postseason berth.
Yeah.
If they do win, then I venture to guess tomorrow, not personnel-wise, but you're going to get a different feel from the Habs than you would if they lose tonight and are still in that same position tomorrow trying to secure their playoff fate.
Let me change that feel for you if they win in Ottawa tonight and face the Leafs.
Mm-hmm.
Can they
catch
Ottawa?
Sure.
And does that make them feel a little different on whether or not they want to go the Atlantic route or the Metro route? Because once you switch over to the Metro, now you're thinking to get to a conference final, you got to go through Washington or Carolina, right? New Jersey. Is that a little bit better than maybe
I just feel like you want to win a round
Florida?
If you're Montreal, and I got to believe Toronto's the team you want there. Right? Like the ghosts of Toronto.
You think so?
I do think so. Yeah. I mean, Washington, you know, Washington's got 115 points by the time this year's over or whatever. But
so what you're telling me is then they win in Ottawa tonight. They're pushing hard Saturday night.
I think they would want Toronto. I do. I feel like that's they could strike the fear of God into the hearts of everyone here by winning a game or two early in that series. And
so Toronto-Montreal is not out of the question.
Oh, it's not out of
it's
the
not.
Question.
No, it's not.
Cool.
Either way, it's going to be fun. All right. Let's gourd it up, shall we?
Yeah, that's a big game tonight. It really is.
All right. We take a quick break. And when we return, we go Stelectricity. Gord Stelic will join us. I don't know where he is. He's somewhere, though. We'll find him.
Where
and then also,
world?
Let's not forget, Off the Rails Friday, top of the hour, Doug McLean will join us on his usual spot on Friday. And then Steve Staios will join us
around
5:30 Eastern.
Correct.
And we'll talk about the Ottawa Senators clinching and going to the playoffs.
Awesome.
All right. More of Real Kipper and Bourne when we return.
Where in the world is
Gord Stelic?
Hey, it's Matt Marchese.
And I'm Mike Fiuta.
We're discussing the top stories of the day across the NHL and the hockey world, weekdays at noon.
It's the Fan Hockey Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Real Kipper and Born. Right now, we are just Born. We are not with Real Kipper, who is feverishly working to get the Masters up on one of our TVs here. We're awaiting Gord Stellick. Couldn't do it, eh, Kip?
Oh,
look at this. It's like someone took his ball and went. Hey, it's okay, pal. We'll watch replays after. You'll get to see some still. It's okay. That's, you can imagine how he's going to feel on Sunday when they took away his Master Sunday.
We work at Rogers, where there's a million TVs.
I know.
How do we not have cable right now?
What's funny, the funniest thing is when you come in here most days, it's after Barker's been in here and there's some duck hunting show on. Legitimately, some camo-wearing dudes in the backwoods. That's the only thing that TV's ever used for. Oh, well, we did our best.
All right, what do we got?
Well, we're awaiting Gord Stellick. Oh, he's ready. Jeez, this guy's
punctual. All right, let's welcome in former general manager, the Toronto Maple Leafs, Sportsnet 590, the fan analyst, co-host of something on Sirius. Gord.
Yeah.
If I wanted cable to work, would I go HDMI 1, 2, 3, or 4?
Oh, so my dad's passed away. Ernie's TV repair could have got this for you. The TV repair men are from Toronto, Leaside, and Rosedale. But, yeah, people make this assumption. And they'll say, you work at Rogers. Can you do this, that, whatever? And then we get the same deals that go on, you know, from time to time, have those kind of issues. So I feel your pain, Kipper, but I'm here at the Mattamy Center, the old Maple Leaf Garden.
Yeah.
So, not watching the mat. Yeah, I'm watching curling.
Wow.
So, curling event, Kipper and Bourne, got the Masters when I get home because, Kippy, I'll text you what's going on with the Masters. I got it all covered.
I really appreciate that. So you're playing right into the Where's Gord Stellick segment we've enjoyed over the many, many years.
Where in the world is Gord Stellick?
And you are a huge fan of curling, the cricket club, the beer in your hand while you throw the rock, right? You're in your wheelhouse.
They used to was sponsored by a cigarette company, and they would smoke while they swept, and the ashes would go on the ice. You know, way back when.
That's why they were sweeping back then, actually.
Yeah. Well, a lot of hockey players used to smoke, too, in that. But anyway, it changed. They're very conditioned. Brad Jacobs is out there right now. I know something's going on. It's got loud all of a sudden. They must know that your show is on.
We're good with you, and we really appreciate the effort. No question about that. So let's start with the two games in Florida, Gord, and what we saw against Florida Panthers, and then what we saw in Tampa Bay, and the level of concern coming out of Sunrise against the Panthers, and then where you felt after the Lightning game.
Pretty simple and cut and dried, right? I mean, play like you did in Florida. You're not going anywhere. Have a response game like you did in Tampa Bay, and a great chance you're going to win. I mean, it almost as if they don't know that. I'm not, you know, us as fans and media people, we know that. But the players, I mean, but if they got just a graphic illustration, the whole thing, Florida was tanking it, was never the case, okay? And they still got no Tkachuk in that and no Ekblad, so they're going to get stronger. So I think that's simple. And so first of all, I know we'll talk about first place, which means you don't play them until the second round, or maybe not at all. You get to duck them anyway in the first round, have a, quote, easier first round opponent, but it's that simple. That's how they played against Florida 2 years ago. They beat Tampa Bay because they played that way against Tampa Bay. They won. And then the first three of those five games against Florida, they played like they did the other night. And that wasn't good enough. And that's why they went home after five. And they'll go home after four or five again if they play that way.
Yeah. I'm going to ask you something that's going to get me accused of having a loser's mentality. But should the Leafs have any pride in winning this division? Is that in itself an accolade that, you know, they should be proud of?
So, I don't know what the word pride is, but you got to do something different, okay? Yeah. Every other team has gone deep in the playoffs, and you can see they understand the 82-game season and playing up to possibly 28 playoff games. So, for the Leafs, they came first in the Canadian division, which is, you know, wasn't really replicate what's going on now. So, Justin, I think to your point, there's something to play for. I think it means something, okay? Now, if they don't get it, you can't say it's the end of the world. But, okay, be able to have a supposedly weaker opponent, have home ice advantage throughout the playoffs. Like some, like you're looking for point of differences. It's not the only one, but you're looking for point of differences to best prepare you for the playoffs. I even think a little thing, like look at Ovechkin's record now. The Washington Capitals have 5 games to get back to your regularly scheduled program. And last year, the last couple of games, you know, feeding Austin Matthews, trying to get 70, which you can't fault them for. I'm just saying isn't the ideal way to start a playoff. So they seem to be in that kind of perfect zone right now.
You're watching and listening to former general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs, Gord Stellick. So, Gord, Matthew Knies, obviously a big storyline coming out of Tampa Bay. Where is he, in your opinion? What did Tampa Bay do for the way we look at him, or opponents look at him, or the way he looks at himself now?
Boy, you know, Kippy, when he came right from NCAA to the playoffs, I was really cautioning everybody about, like, let's not expect too much. We see a whack of guys now doing that, like Snuggerud and Leonard and Washington and that. And, I mean, Toronto doesn't have anyone comparable. But like Chris Kreider did years ago, like Cale Makar did, you made the jump. And, man, this guy has just made the seamless jump on a team whose fault has been not developing enough players, trading so many draft picks, trying to win now. And this was a great one in the second round. And I like how he's got better. I like it seems like he's dedicated himself to improving in all aspects of the game, not afraid to be physical. Feisty can fit in with the big guns. Not everybody. Hey, Nick Ritchie, not everybody can fit in with the big guns. So he has, I think, a bit ahead of schedule in some ways. He came out as a mature player when you play in NCAA a few years, but that's been a real boon to have their existence. And, of course, much like Montreal has with Lane Hudson for another year and Demidov for a couple of years, you got to have those good players on entry-level contracts. I know he won't next year, but what a bonus to have had Joe Woll and him on entry-level contracts. The great teams have that going all the time.
Gord, so as they move towards the playoffs here, it's becoming clearer that they're likely to play Ottawa or Montreal, assuming things go well down the stretch here. Should the Leafs have a preference one way or the other, or should just be looking at their own game and not worry so much about who they draw?
Well, no, I don't think should have a preference. I don't think. I don't know. Do you think you lost to Montreal and maybe that brings up bad memories? Mm-hmm. And bananas where in Ottawa you're going to have mostly a Toronto crowd anyway. So I don't know. So maybe you could say that. But I would say no, because, Justin, both Montreal and Ottawa are what the Toronto Maple Leafs now go in with the longest consecutive streak making the playoffs, 9 consecutive years since Boston was tied, and they're out. So the first year, when they got a standing O for losing against the Washington Capitals, that's what should happen to Ottawa and Montreal this year. If you're playing them, that should be the recipe, much like it was all those years ago, whichever team it is. So I don't think there's any preference. I think those teams should just be happy getting in. That's a big achievement for both of them. You're the better team if you're the Toronto Maple Leafs. You've got way more playoff experience. You got to show it.
Gord, you know, you assume that maybe potentially 2 out of 4 games should be enough to clinch for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Obviously, they'll take more if they can get it, and I'm sure they'll push for it. But what needs to be cleaned up, in your opinion, or what do you want out of the next 4 games for the Toronto Maple Leafs before they drop the puck for real?
Well, and the other part, Kippy, that more and more you're getting players being rested, which is, I'm always, you know, in some ways, if a player's being rested and he's sitting in the press box, is he really being rested? Like, if a guy really needed a rest, give him 3 days off. Now, maybe it's too late in the year to do that, but I just mean you're kind of getting a little bit out of the structure late on. So I worry about that. I understand it's part of the game. But, Kippy, just good habits. Like, these teams coming in, like you look at Boston last night losing to Chicago. Look at the New York Islanders. Second last home game, and they do that. But that's what these teams, a lot of them now, like, they're still mathematically have a playoff chance. But the teams that are out of the playoffs, man, they're trying not to get hurt. They're playing out the string. If they get a few lucky bounces, then all of a sudden they're playing kind of unorthodox hockey that can work in their favor. But, you know, they really got, and Leafs have a few of those opponents, you know, coming up at the end of the season that won't be in the playoffs. So, yeah, just the kind of, like, I looked last night, Florida. That's what you want. A nice, tidy win against Detroit like Florida did. And that'll be, you know, the Leafs have one more game against them. And you look, equal minutes, man. Like 60 and 4 lines played pretty well equal minutes for the Florida Panthers. So that's the one thing I'd like to see consistent. That's another way of getting a little bit of rest that nobody's playing. No forwards playing 24 minutes and no defensemen's playing 28 minutes.
Gord, against Tampa Bay, the Leafs went back to a third line with some scoring touch, right? It's the McMahon, Domi, Robertson line, which had some success for a run. And I remember saying on the show, that line won't play together in playoffs. And now I don't believe that I'm right about that. I feel like it's opponent dependent. Do you think that we'll see a group like that put together rather than a more defensively oriented group?
Well, last year, one of the best scoring teams, they only scored more than two goals in one of the seven games, okay?
Yeah.
And so you got to get, the big guns are the ones that still have to come up, but they have not got the depth scoring. And scoring goals are really hard. And then Bobby McMahon and Nick Robertson seem to have that ability. So, Justin, I would like to see that line get an opportunity in the playoffs. The one thing, now we keep going back to 2019 for Craig Berube, which is fair, but it was 6 years ago. Okay, it was 6 years ago, but still, they won the Cup. And I thought one thing he did really well that year, there was something like 15 forwards the Blues had. And he played them all. You play 12 in a game, and the 15 all got chances throughout. And he seemed to have the ability, just the right kind, put Sammy Blay in for a certain game, whatever. Like, there seemed to be that kind of feel and tempo over a longer playoff. Now, the Leafs have never had a longer playoff, so you really never get a chance to figure out those secret herbs and spices and what works best in a certain way, shape, or form. So I would like to see a line that can give you some depth scoring be a priority.
Much like Justin, I was pretty sure a couple of weeks ago that Max Pacioretty would find himself into a game one scenario. And he's healthy. The cap has kept him out of the lineup still. But, where do you, now that you've seen Nick Robertson not play two critical games in Tampa Bay and Florida and hold his own, where is there room for Max Pacioretty in your opinion?
Well, see, I want to load up all the scores, okay? Don't, keep in mind, back in 89, we had that fun Leaf team that, won game 7-5 and lost game 7-5. Okay, it was a fun year. You can only do it one year. Then reality comes up. So what's killed them the last couple of years is not getting enough goals. Max Pacioretty's been a winner, okay? Not a lot of Leafs have gone deep in the playoffs or won a cup. What I liked, Kippy and Justin, was really his physicality early on. Like, he understood when he was healthy, he had to play a bit of a different role with the Leafs. And I think a lot of people were surprised how he stuck his nose into things and that. So I go, let everybody play. Everybody, bring it on, whatever. Just, I just think that's another of that spices I'm talking about. And if healthy, I think he has some possible substantial value. But I would definitely include him. Like, the one thing you're not going to do, there's not the Wayne Simmons situation anymore. It doesn't seem you need that anymore. Like, it was something that it was a dance that never quite worked in the playoffs. And you got a tough enough team now. You got Max Domi. You got a few other things that you don't need that particular spice anymore.
Yeah. So we talked a bit about potential opponents. After watching Florida this week, do you still think Florida's Florida? Like, I thought there's a point there where I didn't want to say it out loud to people, but I kind of thought Florida fell off. I was like, they just don't look like the same team to me. But that was a hint of it. And as they get healthy, they could still be Florida, possibly?
Well, what hit me was, and it was like those great Detroit teams for all those years, no space. No space. There's no space. When they're playing their game, there is no space out there. And that struck me last night, and that struck me, and they don't have Matthew Tkachuk playing, right? Mm-hmm. So that's the thing. It's a challenge. I maintain the Leafs probably were a stronger team a few years ago when they had probably going way back when they had the lower contracts and could have got more veteran players and had Zach Hyman and a few other things. They just never had great goaltending in the playoffs. They had one good goaltender, Freddie, but it never happened.
Yep.
And they didn't have any. But so I don't view them as good a team as they were talent-wise, but they're a more experienced team. They got the star power players still that have to be the star players in the playoffs. So Florida's going to be a challenge. They're wearing the belt right now, okay? And whether you play them. What about the West? Holy mackerel.
I know.
Like Dallas last year. Dallas, bring it on. I got Vegas. I got Colorado. Then I had Edmonton, right? Like, the East is a walk in the park compared to the West. But whatever it may be, whoever you're playing, and they're one of the whatever number of teams. Are there nine teams you think that can win the Cup? They're one of them. And that's why we keep going back to the St. Louis model in 2019, because that was the year that a team kind of like the Leafs went all the way. And what the hell? All these disappointments. Never mind two rounds. Never mind three rounds. Why not go all the way? Get it all done.
Awesome stuff, Gord. We're going to let you go back to your seats, and I want you to go back to your seats. You are not to hang out the steam whistle beer tent, which I don't think is a coincidence, is right behind you.
Well, I borrowed the steam whistle bucket from the guy. That's why I'm here. And, Tippy, you know, your TV issues. What about your phone? Do you want your roaming charges? Do you want a better plan? Can I look into it or something like that?
That's a good point. Really just pull this up right now.
Who doesn't want a better plan?
Lots of great plans available today at Rogers.com.
See? Company man right there. Gordo, thanks for doing this, pal.
Okay, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Gordo.
That is Gord Stellick, former general manager and a very good friend of the show.
So you don't think Pacioretty is...
No. First of all, how long has he been off?
1 million years.
Yes, 1 million years. Yeah. Game one, very difficult.
Yeah.
And Nick Robertson is...
Say it. Say you want Robertson over Pacioretty.
It's framed that way. There's no kind of going back.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's something to be said that, like, yes, sometimes you have issues with Nick managing the puck, and Craig Berube's talked about that publicly. But the man seems to be kind of a threat every time he's out there.
Yeah.
And I think he puts teams on their heels a little bit with his speed and his tenacity. And, yes, sometimes he can get bounced around like a pinball. But the guy can shoot it. He can hit the net. There's guys that couldn't hit water if they fell out of a boat.
Yeah.
He's not one of them.
Mm-hmm. So you can correct me if I'm wrong on this, but when I think about your career and the way you played, my understanding about what was important to you is you were aware of the game situation, what your team needed at that time, what was needed from you at that time. You were of the moment. Is that fair?
Yes.
Nick Robertson, to me, that's the one thing he can't do.
No, he cannot do it.
He is a goal scorer.
But he is, yes, he's higher skilled, and in his mind, he's framed for finding a way to shoot the puck in the net. That is his top priority. Get open, get your speed going, shoot it in the net.
And it was 3-3 with 3 minutes left, and his line went over the boards last night. You have to play your third line. That's fine. But you have to adjust the way you play as a player. Like, you know, that's something I think I did well, too. Okay, I'm not going to pinch, you know, 50-50 puck. I'm not going for it.
And maybe that's one of the biggest reasons why he hasn't solidified a spot all these years, is because he still sees himself a certain way of making the NHL. And I've seen it for well over 20 years where guys get locked in on what they are or what they're supposed to be. And it's not me. It's you guys. It's the coach. It's the general manager that doesn't understand.
Or you don't see what I am.
You are not putting me in a position to succeed instead of working with what you have. And, you know, I'm proud of the fact that I was a guy that scored big goals in junior, one of the most successful goal scorers in major junior hockey history, man. I'm like, I got this locked in thing that I'm going to be a goal scorer in the NHL. And it's like, no, it didn't happen. So what do? Do I just
keep trying to score goals?
Yeah. Go bounce around from team to team, try to convince them I'm a goal scorer? No, I'll give you what you need.
Hey, you know, say what you will. I know people don't love how Scott Laughton has looked as a Leaf. He was drafted as a point getting goal scorer too, adapted his game to play in the league. Was it Chris Draper or one of those guys was a big junior scorer too and became an effect. And I'm not saying Robertson can become that, but a little bit more awareness. Hey, it's time to get the puck in deep and defend.
Laughton's a role player, okay?
Yep.
And that's figure it out, right? If you're not putting the pucks in the net, you're not producing, you find other ways. You check, penalty kill, you hit, you rub a glove in someone's face. You just do something that brings value.
Berube likes that line. Robertson, McMahon, Domi. He likes it. So,
all right, another guy that can bring value to our show. Don't tell him I said that. Doug McLean, when we go national, it is Off the Rails Friday. You're not going to want to miss this segment.